spend my day running after your heart, your heart, your heart. Oh, I'm chasing you with all my love, captivated, I just can't get enough. I'll spend my day running after your heart, your heart, your heart, your heart.
You've won me heart and soul.
You've won me heart and soul.
And where you lead, I'll go.
And where you lead, I'll go.
I wanna be where you are.
I wanna be where you are.
Let's take that again, high.
Heart.
You've won me.
You won me heart and soul.
And where you lead, I'll go.
And where you lead, I'll go.
I wanna be.
I wanna be where you are. Moment I rise to the moment I sleep, my affection is for you, even as I dream. I wanna know you, I'm after your heart.
From the moment I rise,
from the moment I rise to the moment I sleep, my affection is for you, even as I dream. I wanna know you, I'm after your heart.
Let's chase after the Lord.
I'm chasing you. I'm so in love. Captivated. I just can't get enough. I'll spend my days running after your heart. Your heart. Your heart. Oh. I'm chasing you. Captivated, I just can't get enough. spend my days running after your heart, your heart, your heart. Oh,
I'm chasing you.
I'm chasing you with all my love. Captivated, I just can't get enough. I'll spend my days running after your heart, your heart, your heart. Oh,
want to take this time out and sing unto the Lord and worship Him. So just as we enter this time of worship, just keep those words in your mind, how you want to chase after the Lord because you're so in love with Him, that you're so deeply in love with Him and all the things He has done for you and continues to do, that you want to just open your heart and let it pour out, let the words pour out, let the sounds pour out, and let it be of honor unto Him. Let your heart honor the Lord this evening. That you have or something that you're going through, or just even to express your gratitude for Him for all the things that He continues to do for you, how He makes you strong when you are weak. He's your strength, He's your rock, He's your shield. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Just speak to the Lord this evening. Just speak to the Lord.
I will love you.
Oh,
Your holy and awesome name, O God, for you are worthy, O God, for your name is above every other name there is, O God. And we thank you, O Heavenly Father, for who you are, O God. We pray and ask, O God, that in this time and in this service, O God, you come and touch us, O God, in a way that you have never touched us before, O Heavenly Father. Touch our hearts, O God. Touch our minds, touch our spirits, and touch our souls, O God. And may our lives forever be changed, O God. I pray, O God, against every demonic attack, O God, against every life and every family represented in this place, O God. We pray and ask, O God, that you send your angels around us, O God, to keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger, O God. And may we continue to walk on the path of righteousness, O God, which you, O God, have laid out before us, O God. Direct our steps, O God, in the way in which we're supposed to go, O God. And lead us not into temptation, O Heavenly Father, as you continue to deliver us from the evil one each and every day, O God. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for you are mighty, for you are just, for you are indescribable and unexplainable, O Heavenly Father. Simply say thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us go around and welcome one another and say God is good. Amen.
Offering.
Amen.
Offering time.
Blessing time.
Offering time.
Blessing time.
So it's a time to give the offering. You know, the song says, oh, oh, oh. I think that it tells us that God is so great that words cannot describe the kind of God we have. Yeah, that's why the song says, oh, oh, because it's like, he's so big. Yeah, so because of that, let's give a big offering, because we have a big God. Hey, you know, on Wednesday when Apostle gave us that song, I mean, I've been playing it. Ah, it's like you play it and you get lost. It's like, you know, I have a website called Listen on Repeat. Like you just put it there and then. Like I've played, it's almost like 100 and something. It's like my wife is like, she's tired. I'm disturbing her ears. You know, but that's how our God is. Let's pray and thank God for the blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for giving to us. Even as we're giving back to you, we know it belongs to you already. You said we should do it. We should bring our sacrifice and our offerings before you, Almighty God. That is what we are doing this afternoon. We thank you, Father, for another service this afternoon. May your will be done today, Almighty God. May your spirit take control. We thank you for blessing our offering. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
This it up.
My sin, oh, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be before your presence. Never going back to the way it was.
I'm never
going back. I am never going back.
No,
I'm never going back to the way
it was. I'm never going back.
I'm never going back. I'm never going back.
Put our hands together, amen, as we rise up to our feet and welcome Apostle. Amen.
Amen. I am never going back. Never going back to the way it was.
Oh,
never going back.
Never.
I am never going back.
No, no, no.
The way it was.
Oh,
never going back. I'm never going back.
No,
I'm never going back to the way it was.
Never
going back. I'm never going back.
No, 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 no.
Never going back. The way it was,
never going back.
Amen. Wow. Okay. God bless you. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for a second opportunity to share the word of God and to hear it also. We pray, Lord, for your blessing on this afternoon's service and message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, be seated. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is to be in church again. Amen. And I think that the Bible says we shouldn't give up the habit of meeting together. And we should do that so much the more. That means more services, more churches, and so on. So much the more as ye see the day approaching. Amen. So the day is approaching, isn't it? The day is approaching, even if it doesn't feel that way. But I think it does feel that way. I think there's sufficient awkwardness in our time to make even the least spiritually sensitive person to anticipate something. You must be expecting something, isn't it? That one of these days something is going to happen or something. I don't know. But I pray that God will help us all and that none of us will be found wanting when the day approaches. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. I want to share with you something very interesting. What do you think? All right. So what it means to be puffed up like Korah. It's a timely message, right? I kind of felt that this would be a very interesting message today. Amen. And it's from chapter 16, from the back. That way, those who haven't read to that point just might be helped a little bit. Hallelujah. Now, in all of this exercise, I hope that we're being able to keep the objective clear. And the objective is not for you to get a score. It's not for you to get a pass or a fail. The objective is impartation. Amen. I mean, thank God for a church where we can write an exam, where we can devote ourselves to actively learning a subject, learning it well enough, and then humbly lending ourselves to being tested on the subject. Do you see what I'm saying? Because it's also a sign of humility that you will submit yourself to be tested, and for someone or a computer to evaluate. You see, and to assess your understanding of what you have been taught. I'm sure you agree with me that a lot of Christian teaching just passes by. Isn't it? It's just assumed that once you heard it, you know it, and that is it. There's not much that goes into ensuring that someone has thoroughly understood a particular subject, isn't it? That is why our progress in the Lord can be so slow, isn't it? If there was an exam on every preaching, I think we'll grow faster. In the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, never have I seen people waking up in the middle of the night to go over their pastor's message. Never. It's like, what did pastor preach last week? And Sunday morning is coming. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go over pastor's last message, and I mean, it does not happen. Hallelujah. So we are in a blessed church indeed, and we must always be grateful for these landmarks and these things that God has given us. We must never fight them, and we must never encourage anybody to put them down. Do you see what I'm saying? We must never encourage anybody to put them down just because they are not used to it, or that they do not, or and a lot of times it's just being puffed up. Do you understand? That's what it is. It's being puffed up like Korah that makes people do that. Do you understand? It makes people question things. Makes people question things that are clearly in the Bible, you know, biblically sound practices, you know, that we sort of engage ourselves in, you know, and then you find somebody just questioning it with no scriptures at all, but just his feelings and his puffed upness. You see what I'm saying? And it makes people address such things without really knowing what they are talking about. So I pray that God will help us. Amen. It's a blessing, as I've been watching my WhatsApp messages come through, and I've been seeing different comments from different places and people encouraging themselves. I mean, we have about 1,000 people all around the country just all studying the same thing with diligence. You know, even the jokes are about humility, you know. So, I tell you, it's a blessing. Lighthouse is a blessed church, and we thank God for it. Amen. So what it means to be puffed up like Korah, okay? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. This is going to be the easiest sermon ever. All right. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18. What is that scripture? Who knows it? It is there. Somebody knows it. Who can quote it? Brother Lord. Brother Lord, I hear you know all the verses. Well, he's the Lord. What do you expect? Brother Lord, I hear you are the Lord of the verses. So tell us, what is Colossians chapter 2 and verse 18? Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Hallelujah. This verse describes exactly what I was explaining earlier, that there are people who are, it says they are intruding into things which they have not seen. Do you understand? They are bursting into and budging into matters that they do not really understand. Do you get it? And it is because they are just puffed up and puffed up by their fleshly mind, isn't it? So it's a product of their thinking. And the Bible says, don't let anyone beguile you or cheat you of your reward. Amen. That means if you let such people or allow them, they will rob you of your reward. Amen. Taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, you know, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Hallelujah. I hear a lot of people criticize a lot of things that we do in our church. A lot of things that pastors and men of God from different places do. And they just criticize them purely out of a feeling to them that it is wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? But we're not supposed to judge things by how we feel about it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You're supposed to judge things based on the scriptures. Find a verse that is against what you have something against and bring it up for discussion. Yeah. Then now you're talking. Yeah. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody said, why do we preach about loyalty in our church? Why should we teach about loyalty? So if you find a verse, why not teach about loyalty? You find a verse, just bring the verses and just come and talk about it. Amen. Let's come and talk about it, but not just out of a feeling. do you understand? That's what a vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Do you see? A mind that is not spiritual. A mind that is not thinking through the scriptures to arrive at the conclusions. A mind that is influenced by the flesh and dominated by carnality. That is the mind that has caused the person to be puffed up. You see, the fleshly mind is making him think that way. Do you understand? But then the pride is making him say it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, your fleshly mind makes you think a certain way, and the pride makes you stand up and say what you are thinking. Do you see what I'm saying? Because you think that you have a right to say such a thing. Hallelujah. You must think through scriptures. Just have the scriptures, not just one lady was trying to get her husband to stop coming to church. I mean, almost to the point of divorcing him. Do you understand? I said, look, if you really know any scriptures, you should watch out. Because sometimes you can be going back from something, and then now the thing you are coming away from is you are rather about to fall into a pit. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's like you're trying to avoid what you think is danger. But you don't know that what you are perceiving as your danger is actually your safety versus what you are backing up into. Do you see what I'm saying? As you are backing up and you're not looking, because it's not the scripture that is pulling you or pushing you backwards. You're backing up based on your feelings, not scriptures. And I was telling her, bring me the scriptures. I want you to give me some Bible verses. You get it? Don't say that, I feel it's wrong. Who are you? Why should we live by your feelings?
Amen.
When you get up and say you feel is wrong, how many other things have you felt are wrong that were actually right?
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen?
So we must be solidly on scriptures about things. The Bible is our guide, not anyone's feelings. Are you following what I'm saying? The Word of God, if it's in the Word of God, we believe it, we do it. If it's not in the Word of God, let's throw it away.
Yeah.
That's all. Regardless of who said it, who preached it, if it's not solidly on scriptures, let's throw it away. Because the Bible must be our guide. Hallelujah. So now this Korah guy is in the Bible. Okay. The son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth. Sons of Reuben, they took men and they rose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel. I'm reading Numbers chapter 16 verse 1. I'm now getting to, I think, verse 2. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Hallelujah. Now, we need to watch out for people who are famous in the congregation. People of renown. Opinion leaders. Loud-mouthed, confident people who talk about things when they are confidently, when they are actually wrong. Do you understand? People who can speak confidently about something they know nothing about. It is very fantastic. Such people exist. Do you see what I'm saying? They speak and they say a lot of things. One day somebody was telling me about a certain pastor who had gotten involved with some problem and so on. And the person was telling me about how the pastor must be thrown away or sent away or, you know, something like that. And I was just thinking, why don't you give me a biblical precedent? She said, give me a verse in the Bible to back what you are saying. Do you understand? When we throw pastors away because they made a mistake, great, that's what we do with pastors. What do we do with members who make mistakes? What are we supposed to do with those ones also? You see the thing? So another person in the same church was now talking to me and she was telling me, she said, Pastor, you are right. You are right. Because we don't extend the same grace towards pastors as we extend towards our members. This was a member of the church now talking. He said that we don't extend the same grace towards pastors as we extend towards members. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So the pastor may have made a mistake. We don't like pastors to make certain mistakes. Do you understand? Because depending on who you are, certain mistakes that you make, or even when you make the same mistake, it can be more costly, isn't it? Like when you're driving the car and you fall asleep, it's more costly than when the other person who is in the other front seat also falls asleep, isn't it? So depending on who you are, your mistakes can be more costly. Do you understand? But it doesn't make them any greater a mistake than any other mistake. The mistake is the mistake. It's the effect that is bigger. Are you following what I'm saying? So in terms of treating it, the treatment ought to be the same. Because the treatment is not determined by the effect. It is what it is. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Right? So this On and the On and, what's his name? Korah and Dathan and Abiram. You see, they were famous in the congregation. They were known by the people, and people assumed that if Korah is saying it, then it must be right. Hallelujah. It must be right if Korah is saying it. And they said they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And they said and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? Do you understand? When people are operating by the spirit of the equalizer, do you understand? Yeah. Which is one of the characteristics of Lucifer. Lucifer is the one who said, I will ascend and I will make my throne. I mean, I'll be like God. Do you understand? When you have somebody who starts to exalt himself, maybe because of some matter that has happened or whatever it is, because here there was a matter. Do you get it? Their pastor, Moses, had gotten married to an Ethiopian woman and it had caused there to be a scandal around. Do you get it? There were some who didn't like her for maybe where she came from. Then there were others who didn't like her because they felt they should have been chosen by Moses. You get it? You, Moses, we are here with you. If you're looking for a wife, we've been here with you. Do you understand? We've been in the trenches together. We've been working together, traveling from Egypt all this world to the wilderness. You know what I'm saying? And then it's time for you to choose a wife. And then look. No, we're not going to let this slide. You see, so there were some who felt that no, Moses should have married maybe even their daughter. Do you see? Yeah. Wow. You know, maybe one of Korah's sisters. You see, they thought that Moses was getting a little close to Korah's sister. And then, you know, before they knew it, the whole thing had just become something else. And and Korah was freaking out over this. And so he got Dathan involved and Abiram. And then On said, yeah, he also at some point, he thought it was his sister. What will On's sister be called? Off. Wow. You get it? On felt that his sister Off should have been the one. Do you get it? But truly, when someone is preaching to you for a long time, a time comes when you feel you own the person. Do you understand? You feel you own him. You own his movement. You own what he must drive. You own what he must wear. You own how he must dress. You own what he must eat. There are some people who don't even ask the pastor, what would you like to eat? They assume that you are the pastor. You must eat this.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so these people were upset and there was a matter. And because of the matter, they felt that, look, we are the main guys. You get it? Men of renown, famous in the congregation means the main guys. We are the main people in this matter. And, you know, we have to say it. Hallelujah. Wow. So they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And said to them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you think that we're all holy and there's no difference between you and the pastor, why don't you bless your marriage? Yes.
Wow.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you just put you and your wife together and you lay hands on yourself. Lay hands on your wife and say, listen, we are married. We are blessed.
Wow.
Wherefore, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Do you see? When people need the pastor to do something for them, that's when they start to respect the difference. Do you see? But when people are taking on the pastor because of some mistake or some fault or something the pastor has, then they begin to come up or rise up in the spirit of equalization and they start to fight the pastor, do you see, over some mistake that he may have made. They are fighting the humanity of the pastor because he may genuinely have made a mistake. But that doesn't make it right, as you see in the scripture. Hallelujah. So number one, Korah was puffed up because he thought that the pastor was obliged to listen to his opinion. Amen. He thought that the pastor had to listen to them. There are some people who feel that, look, the pastor, when you talk to him, he doesn't listen. You see what I'm saying? When you talk to him, he doesn't listen. So they sort of stand back, and sometimes they pull back all their help so that the pastor can fail. You see, instead of supporting him, they want him to fail so he can see that he must listen to advice. It's arrogance and it's pride. Hallelujah. We must watch out for such things. Amen. Korah was a man of repute in the society. He thought that because he was a big man in society, he was also a big man in the church, which is a mistake that we make. Even pastors make that mistake. They assume that when someone is a big man in society, he automatically must become a big man in the church. Do you understand? Now, the Bible teaches that we must give honor to whom honor is due. When an honorable person who may be honorable for other reasons other than something within the church. And people can be honorable. If the mayor of the city comes here, he's an honorable person that must be respected. A person who takes on the burdens. You see, the Bible says, obey them that have rule over you. Then it says, esteem them highly for their work's sake. So even your job can confer a high esteem on you. The work that you do, just the work that you do, can make you deserving of a very high level of respect. Not because you are a higher human being, but the job that you do. For example, if you decide to become the president of the United States, I mean, it's quite a job. Do you see what I was saying? You deserve the whole plane to yourself. Yeah, and they show you, they hold you in high esteem, and they show that by giving you a plane to just for yourself. Can you imagine 747? Wow. All by yourself, you and your wife and two children. That's your plane that you take to Hawaii to go on vacation and come back and so on. Because of your work. And people are deserving of a high level of respect because of their work. But I'm saying that that is not to be equated with spiritual development and therefore honor that comes to a person because of their spiritual standing. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. So sometimes people make that mistake. They assume that because I'm a banker, I'm a manager at the bank, that also means that when I speak in the church, they must listen to it. Do you understand? That because when I speak at the bank, they listen to me. When I speak at the shop, they listen to me. When I speak at the engineering firm, they listen to me. So when I speak at the church, also, the pastor must listen to me. You know, but that is a mistake. Can I have an amen? Amen? It is a mistake. Just because you're a big man at the engineering firm doesn't mean that you're a big man in the house of God. In the house of God, we go by a different standard. It is a spiritual environment. Amen. This is the house of God. Amen. You must even be afraid before you make a contribution where God is ruling and reigning. Can I have an amen? So, he says there are people who feel they must be listened to because of who they are in worldly society. Thank God for your banking degree. Thank God for your political achievements. Thank God for your wealth. Thank God that you are now famous. But none of these things makes anyone qualified to tell the pastor what to do. God would lead his servants by the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen? The church is led by the Holy Spirit who speaks through his chosen men. And the opinions of men, the opinions of lawyers and doctors and administrators, politicians and other men of fame are important, but they do not rule the church. The church is governed by the Holy Spirit who works through his anointed and chosen vessels. Amen. So we must allow God to do his work. If your opinion is sought for concerning something, and you are given the opportunity to make a contribution or to give an opinion about something, you give it in humility. Do you understand? You must talk humbly in the church. Hallelujah. You must speak with humility in the church in case you are wrong. Do you follow what I'm saying? I mean, can you imagine? I will not go to a hospital, maybe to an operating theater, and they're cutting somebody, they're doing a C-section, and I'm there. And then I said, no, don't do it this way. No, this is not how it is. That's not how to do a C-section. Why are you cutting the thing like that? No, cut it straight like this. I cannot do that. Do you understand? Yeah. I got to attend, you know, a couple of C-sessions when, you know, my kids were being born. And while I was there and they were doing these things, I mean, I was just quiet. Hey! Even one time, do you remember one time I was going to take a photograph? I was going to take it, and then the nurse came and rebuked me. Hey! It's like, this is not photo time. Somebody is suffering and you have gotten your camera. Meanwhile, I was trying to get a shot for the future. The nurse rebuked me sharply. And I just kept quiet and I sat there coolly. Do you understand? Because that is her area. And you must respect her. Do you understand? You must respect her. You cannot just walk into somebody's office and start throwing your opinions around confidently, and you expect him to take it, and when he doesn't take it, then you are upset and you say, I'm leaving the church. No. Wow. It's a bad spirit. Yeah, it is a spirit of pride that has made you puffed up, and you need deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, the second thing about Korah is that he tried to correct spiritual authority, isn't it? He tried to correct spiritual authority. So that's the next thing that is wrong with what Korah did. He tried to correct spiritual authority. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 10. Lord, what does that verse say? Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 10. Lest he curse thee and thou be found. Yeah. It won't be easy in just a few minutes. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, do not accuse a servant unto his master. Do you understand? You don't know why someone likes his servant. And then also, you don't know why someone hires a particular servant. Do you understand? All human beings are good at some things and not so good at some other things. Do you understand? When someone hires you for a job, it is often because they have been able to determine that you are good for something in particular that they need you to do. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, they know that you may not be good at so many other things, but they just make an assessment and they look at the relative value of what you are not good at to what they are doing. Do you see? So, for example, if I need someone to drive me or if I need someone to cook for me, it may not matter to me that he cannot drive. Do you see what I'm saying? It may not matter to me that he's not such a good driver. That when he's driving, he's just zigzagging all over the place, you know, because I'm looking for someone who makes really good food. Do you see? Because I'm looking for someone who makes really good food, I'm just looking for someone who makes really good food. Then I find this guy who makes really good food, but who doesn't drive or doesn't drive properly. And I still say I like him. So you may come and find him working for me. You don't know why I like this man. Do you understand? Then one day, while he's going to work, you happen to be driving behind him. Then you see how he's doing his zigzag things and just moving around. And you wonder, who is this? Then you realize, that is my chef who's driving like that. Then you think, no, such a person should not be cooking for him. Do you see the folly? You are now looking at the way he's driving. And you're saying, no, he should not be working for me. So you come and you're complaining that, you know, this your servant, he's such a terrible driver. He's such a, if you know what is good for you, let him go. Sack him, you know. And then I start to think, I mean, who told you it's about driving? You don't understand why this man means so much to me. Do you understand? You may not understand what provision I have made for driving. You may not understand that if I am really looking for a driver, I have somebody else that does that for me. So it doesn't bother me at all that this person you have cannot drive. Then you keep coming to me and every day you have an issue about his driving. Do you not understand how very soon I will not even like to listen to you? I will not even like to talk to you. When you open your mouth, I start getting irritated by you because you are continuously condemning my servant, do you see, over a matter that is not very relevant and that is not very useful where I am concerned. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. When Moses married that Ethiopian woman, he was marrying a wife for himself. Not for the Lord. do you understand? Yeah. Every instruction that God has given concerning who people marry is really for your salvation and for your rescue. It's not for him. Do you understand? If the Lord says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and you want to marry an unbeliever, I'm yet to see the Lord intervene where somebody was going to marry someone and God stepped in during the wedding and an angel came to say, no way. Wow. As far as I'm concerned, everyone has married whoever they wanted to marry. Do you understand? God gives a caution and that is it. I've never been at a wedding before where somewhere just before we said kiss the bride and then some angel just descended into the place and said, no, 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 with a sword, crosses the sword, you know, between their lips and says, this kiss is not happening. This marriage is not from above. No, 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 no. God will let you marry anybody you want to marry. Yeah. See, the people of Israel were asking for a king, and their reason for asking for a king was so they can be like other nations. And Samuel, their leader, was very upset. And God was showing him, you don't get upset with people like that. He says, you're not even the one they are rejecting. It's me, and I'm cool here. It's me. I'm the one they are rejecting, and I haven't said anything. And you are shouting, and you are very hurt and offended by all this. He says, give them what they want. Just tell them the ways of what they're asking for. So God gave Samuel a long list of what kings do. Samuel went to assemble the people together. He says, it has come to my attention that you guys are looking for a king. Well, tonight's meeting, I'm going to announce to you what you should expect from a king. And then he said, the king will take your daughters, he'll make them work. He said, next, he said, the king will make you pay taxes. They said, not a big deal. So the king will make you do this. We still like the king. So said, okay. So at the end of the list, then Samuel asked them, so what is your conclusion? They said, thank you for all the information, but nay, we still like a king. So God said, what next? Appoint for them a king. That is it. And they just got a king. Then all their problems started. You see what I'm saying? And God has been watching them since. Hallelujah. So God knows. In fact, when you read the Bible, God tells them, he explains to these people why he likes Moses. Do you understand? They felt that Moses has broken the scriptures because they were also told not to marry from other people. And Moses, who has been teaching those things, has gone to marry. You see the things. Got in a nice copper colored Ethiopian woman for himself. I don't know what that woman did to Moses, but it looks like he really liked her. Do you see? And so they felt that no. This man has been preaching one thing and he's living some other way. And so they rose up in protest, trying to correct spiritual authority. Hallelujah. Now, what is important for us to note is that when God appoints someone, he knows what he's getting. Do you understand? When God appoints someone, he always knows what he's getting. You know, when people go to an auction to buy a car, they're allowed to walk around the car, you know, and preview and check it out and everything. By the time they are making a bid for the car, they know exactly what they are getting. Do you understand? One of the most annoying things is when someone starts shouting about something which is very obvious to you already. When someone already knows or you can see and you are still choosing and someone is making a lot of noise about it. It's annoying. Hallelujah. When God has chosen his servant, he knows often what he's getting. He knows why this person is good for what he wants the person to do for him. God already knows their faults. He already knows their weaknesses. He knows what to expect. He knows what will work. He knows what will not work. And he says, I still want the person. Hallelujah. To start with, do you remember that when God chose Moses to go and be the one that would deliver his people out of Egypt, do you remember that Moses' first excuse was, I can't talk? Do you understand? Which God didn't think was a problem. Moses even thought his problem should have disqualified him. That if you were going to choose someone to do a speaking job, the one problem you wouldn't want him to have is a speaking problem. You see, so Moses felt that, look, how can I be chosen to do a speaking job when I have a speaking problem? And God said, that's not a problem. I want you to go and do, because for what you're going to do, the speaking is not a big deal. Do you understand? And Moses said, no. So God said, all right, if it's speaking, that's your problem. You have a brother. He is a priest. Don't you think it would have been more straightforward for God to shoot for that brother? He's looking for a priest to do a speaking job. Moses has a brother. He can talk. He's already a priest. Wow. Do you understand? Wow. Why do you take someone who is not a priest yet and who cannot talk? It shows that God has seen something beyond your ability to speak. God saw a priest and did not choose him. A priest who can speak. So Moses said, look, choose my brother. God said, no problem. I'll use your brother's mouth and your heart. So I'm going to combine the two to make one person. So you are going to be to your brother a God. And then your brother is going to be to you a mouth. And we're going to combine this and bring it to speak to Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Because God had so many other things in mind. You know, as Moses was going to Pharaoh, Moses asked the Lord, how will they know that you have actually sent me? Do you understand? God said, what do you have in your hand? He said, a rod. When Moses dropped the rod, it became a serpent. Moses picked up the rod, the serpent again, it became a rod. God had wild miracles and so on. There wasn't going to be much talking anyway. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There wasn't going to be much talking anyway. But Moses didn't even know the nature of the job. You don't know what God has called the person to do. That is why God can see his obvious fault and is still choosing him. God knows the guy stammers. He cannot speak. But for you, you know, whatever the faults are, they are like breaking news for you. And you think you've got something to talk about. I mean, if you made a lot of noise about Moses stammering at the time God called him, you would have found out that you have made a huge mistake, isn't it? Yeah, because you would have found out that God already knew that Moses was a stammerer. And God even gave Moses someone to talk for him because Moses insisted. But the person, when you read that account, you don't hear Aaron saying anything. Do you understand? You don't hear Aaron saying much because the job really did not involve much speaking at all. It was miracles and signs and wonders that were being done by the Lord himself. That is why he said, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You are a stammerer, but I still like you. I think you understand what I'm sharing with you. So that is the reason why you find pastors and church leaders with all kinds of faults. Do you understand? Which God sometimes appears to be overlooking and still continuing to use those people to achieve his purposes and his plans. God understands that all human beings are broken in some way anyway. All human beings have some fault or the other. Some are more obvious than others. Do you see? Sometimes even the more dangerous faults are the ones that cannot be seen. Do you get it? If you're buying a car from the auction and the headlamp is not working, you can see it. You see, the worst ones are the ones that have a transmission problem but have been washed nicely. You see, have been washed nicely and have been presented at the place, but you don't know that the fourth gear is slipping. And when you test it around the place, you will never drive it far enough for it to get into the fourth gear to know that that gear does not work at all. But it's been washed nicely. And sometimes when you see people making an extra effort to make something look good, you should be suspicious. Yeah, even human beings are like that. When you meet someone who seems to be particular about presenting himself as a perfect person and not having a problem, you should be suspicious of such people. Because it's often when the thing is broken that you try to paint it and you try to cover it and you try to, you make the extra effort to shine it, to detail it, to put armor all on the tires and the wheels, and the whole thing is shining when you know that internally it is not working. Yeah, and human beings are like that. So sometimes when I see people who try very hard to present a good front, you know, people who are trying very hard to look good all the time, they don't like it when the pastor gets to know something bad about them or something. Often they have something to hide. Because we are all just human beings. How come you alone, you don't have a fault? Can I have an amen? I think you understand what I'm sharing with you. Amen. So the scripture, Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1 and 2, who knows that one? Hebrews chapter 5 verse 1 and 2. Every high priest, how many high priests? Every high priest, isn't it? Is taken from where? All right, every high priest is taken from among men and is ordained, isn't it? And is ordained for men or appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Isn't it? Then the next verse. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself is also compassed with infirmity. Now, this is the verse that you really need to pay attention to where this subject is concerned. Because it might surprise you to find out that actually God prefers somebody who has a fault. Because it looks like, because he himself is also compassed with infirmity, he has the unique capacity to have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Isn't it? On them that are out of the way, because he himself is compassed with infirmity. So his infirmity that you are rising up and criticizing and making a lot of noise about is actually the reason why God chose him. Because God can see in him, he understands what it means to be ignorant. He understands what it means to be out of the way, because he himself has been there. So you see sometimes God using people to correct exactly what they are guilty of or what they have been guilty of. You know, I met this fellow recently who was telling me about his life as a gang member, you know, and he was telling me like all the rough places in, you know, I met him in Nicaragua and he was just showing all the rough places where others are scared of going to. I mean, he just walks around there freely. Even we were passing some place there, he told me, you see that place there? He said, you see that junction there, the second house, 1-2. He said, they sell drugs there. I asked him, how do you know? He said, oh, I've been buying from that place. He said, they sell drugs there. I said, wow. This is a place that I would be scared to go walk around there. But he was willing to go. He said, I've been coming. He said, I even need to come here and preach. I need to come and preach to them over here. He's not afraid of any of those people at all. Yeah. He knows exactly. I even asked him, when you see people standing around, how do you know they're selling drugs? I was asking him, how do you know they even sell drugs in this area? He said, I know the job. That was my job for many years. So I know it. I mean, when I know this one is selling drugs, this one is not. This one is selling drugs. Then he said, you see that guy over there? He's selling drugs. You know, and he said, I was in the business. That was my job. I know it. So don't be surprised when you see such a person having been converted by the Lord and picked up by the Lord to go talk to these guys. Because he himself is compassed about with drugs. And if in the process he slips and takes one or two in the process, you shouldn't be surprised. God knows why he chose that particular person for that job. Are you following what I'm saying? So we must be careful not to point fingers at God's servants. God can correct them. It says, do not accuse a servant to his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. Can I have an amen? So every high priest is chosen from among men and appointed, etc., etc. God knows what he is getting. He knows who he has chosen. He knows what to expect from them, and he knows how to correct them. So church members are not supposed to be correcting their pastor, isn't it? So they are not supposed to be correcting. Correction upwards is rebellion, isn't it? When you correct upwards, you are now beginning to rebel. Everybody has someone above them that can correct them. Do you understand? Yeah. That is why when you challenge police officers, they get infuriated and they make your trouble worse. Because they feel that somebody other than you must be correcting them. Someone above them. Not you who has broken the law. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So that is what Korah tried to do. He was full of himself. He was affected by his fame and renown. He went too far and tried to correct Moses of all people. God can correct his own authorities, and he does. Correcting a spiritual authority is no business of yours, even though you may be a long-standing church member. The sheep cannot lead the shepherd. It is the shepherd who leads the sheep, and it is the shepherd who corrects the sheep. Sheep cannot correct the shepherd. God will correct the shepherds himself. And if you do not believe that your shepherd can be corrected by God, you shouldn't be listening to his messages, because it means they are not from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you do not believe that God has access to your pastor enough to correct him, you should not be listening to your pastor's messages, because they are not from God. Because God doesn't have access to him. Can I have an amen? But if you believe that your pastor is spoken to by God, if you believe that God has used your pastor to bless you before, if the pastor has ever preached to you, ever, and you felt blessed, I feel like God has spoken to me. If that has ever happened to you before, then leave him alone, because the same way that God used him to bless you, God will reach out to him also and correct him. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding the word of God? God will reach out to him and correct him also. God can correct your pastor. God can correct any spiritual authority. God can tell the pastor he's proud. God can tell the pastor you are wrong. God can tell the pastor, let this matter go. God can tell the pastor, that's not the way to handle it. God can. If the pastor was obedient enough to hear from God, even to become a pastor, then you should believe that God can still reach him with his word and cause him to do what he wants him to do. Can I have an amen? Amen. Finally, Korah was puffed up because he fell from being a man of repute to being wiped out together with his family. Isn't it? So when you're out of order trying to correct spiritual authority, you can bring a lot of terrible problems on yourself. Amen? Amen. The Bible says pride goes before a fall. And this Korah ends up falling. He ends up destroying his family. He thought he had a case. And in the end, he rather became the case. He became a problem because of all the things that happened to them. Amen. Do not bring curses on your family by arrogantly assuming that it is your place to correct God's servant. Do you see what I'm saying? We need to be very careful when we're dealing with God's people and God's servants. God will deal with his servants himself. Hallelujah. God will deal with his servants. You see what happened to Korah and his family? If God wants that to happen to any pastor, it will just happen to him. You know, last year I heard about two pastors. They died in front of the congregation, like they were preaching, and they dropped dead right in front of the church. Yeah. No, I'm not trying to suggest that God was judging them or anything, but I'm trying to say that if God wanted to save them, he would. Are you getting what I'm saying? If God wanted to save the pastor from dying in front of his congregation, he would. So if it's not, even that is not a problem for the Lord, that the pastor is in the middle of preaching and then he just drops dead. He just falls and that's the end. He's dead. And that's not a problem for the Lord. So you can imagine if God wants to do something, he can do it. Can I have an amen? So believe in it and leave people to the Lord to deal with. And God, you can count on him to deal with his people accordingly. Say amen. Amen. All right. So that is it. How to be puffed up like Korah. And this is just trying to correct spiritual authority. Amen. Now, the other word for apostle is prophecy. Hallelujah. So you never know, but I don't know what is coming in the exam, but I just hope that this helps you somehow to get a point or two on your side. Amen. Well, let's stand to our feet and say a word of prayer before we bring the service to a close. Let's pray. I want us to pray for humility. Amen. Humility is a spiritual virtue. The more of it you have, the closer you get to God. Amen. The closer you are to God, the more humble you become. And so let's pray for this special quality, everybody. I want you to pray that beyond writing an exam and beyond any of these things we're doing, great as they are, you don't want to miss the point. You want to be humble indeed, that God will give us humility. Because the Bible says he resists proud people and he gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace. God will give you grace if you humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. God will lift you up if you will bring yourself down. If you will humble yourself, God will promote you. God will lift you up. He says, he giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. God can give more grace. The grace you have is not all that you can have. The grace that God has given your life so far is not all that you can have. There is more. He giveth more grace. God has more grace to give. But that grace is for the humble. You have to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Not humble yourself in the sight of humans. Human beings have a different standard for humility. Human beings sometimes call things humility which are not humility at all. But pray that God will give you true humility in the name of Jesus. That by the time you are through with studying for this exam and so on, that God would have blessed you with this great grace of humility in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me wisdom to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision. Oh, to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from.
Give me wisdom.
Give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name.